Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
That passage is an interesting passage, isn't it? Did John do good on all those Phrygians and Cyrenes? And, wow! My comment to him was just, whatever it is, just plow through and do the best you can. John, I wouldn't correct a single pronunciation you did. That was great. I bet you said, God, help me in this moment. He's on his head. The idea of the Holy Spirit is not new to Acts. It's not new to Acts. We hinted at it a little bit there in that passage that we did from Psalm 104. Reminded us that God's Holy Spirit creates. Every time the verb in Hebrew appears in the Hebrew portion of the Bible, create, the noun in front of that, the subject of that sentence is God. In some kind of way, whether it's Yahweh, El Shaddai, Elohim, Adonai, whatever the options are, God's title, God's name appears before the word create. In Genesis 1, God's breath, God's ruach, got to sort of halfway spit that stuff out. God's ruach, clear your throat out a little bit. God's breath is there in Genesis 1. You have the world is without form. It's shapeless. It's sort of chaotic. And God's breath comes in and blows and touches everything and brings order out of disorder. Genesis 2, God's goes down to the riverbank, carves the first human creature out of the clay. And God's breath is what animates the human form. God's Holy Spirit is creative. This passage here from Acts for us is one that those of us that like to be a little weird and crazy ought to endorse. We ought to read this one nearly every week, because God's inviting us to maybe move out of our comfort zones. Let's see if we can set the context for what's going on in this passage. They've just seen Jesus. They've just said, when are you going to help us out? When's the next time something magic, something important, something spiritual, something great, something wonderful is going to happen? He says, I'll let you know in good time. But right now I want you to know that I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is one of empowerment. As is pretty typical throughout the Gospels, the disciples don't seem to get it. And they wander back to the upper room, and they're all, oh me, they're having an Eeyore moment. Oh gosh, what's going to happen to us? It's going to be, we just don't know. And then things start to happen. We had all the props we need. We'd put, you know, about a 200 mile per hour fan back over there, another 200 mile per hour fan over there. We'd get Jack up in the roof here, and he'd be sending lightning bolts down and that kind of thing. All right? Because that's what happens. That's what happens. And they move from being scared spitless to all of a sudden they're empowered. They're empowered to the point that the snobs, the city snobs, sit there and go, you know, those Hilltop people, they're just drunk. They're just drunk. Paul is dealing with a church in Corinth. It's a church that, gosh, I'm glad I'm not the pastor of that church. Wow. Paul is trying to deal before the internet, before he could Skype over there to them and all those magical things we can do now today. And he's trying to deal with them from long distance. And he's trying to talk to them a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. about how it is that the Spirit empowers you. And what he's trying to deal with in part is the fact that if you can't speak in tongues, no big deal. It's all right. That may not be your gift. If you can't prophesy, no big deal. That may not be your gift. If you can't sing like this chancel choir, that may not be any big deal. It's not your gift. It's their gift. It's their gift. And what Paul is basically saying is the gifts of the Spirit, are highly individual. The Spirit's creative. The Spirit's empowering. That's point two. I guess point 2B of that is maybe even the Spirit is empowering to the point that it makes you do a little wild and crazy stuff. A little something a little different than everybody else. And maybe as you get into the city, somebody might just think you're nuts. Or maybe you're drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then the third thing is that the Holy Spirit is unique to each of us. Our skills, our gifts, our opportunities to serve God are given to us. And sometimes we invoke those, and some of us have administrative skills. Some sing. Some can line up decimal points and commas on Excel spreadsheets. Some can play the organ. Some can sing. Some can insert what you can do. My guess is everybody in this room has an opportunity to serve in some kind of way. Pentecost ought to be a time of great excitement for us. It's the third major holiday within the Christian church. Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. And frankly, Pentecost is this time for us to stop in late spring, early summer, and start to reflect on what happened with that. And then we spend the next 26 weeks reflecting of what the church is to do as a result of the Pentecost moment. Wow. What a chance for us to go out and be creative on behalf of God. What a chance for us to go out and to be enthusiastic, to go out beyond ourselves a little bit. Maybe even be thought a little wild and crazy. Dennis, are you nuts? Are you drunk? It's only 10, 11, 10 in the morning. Come on, guys, work with me. It was funny yesterday. And what God invites us to say is to recognize our gifts. Pentecost ought to be a time of recharging ourselves, getting enthusiastic ourselves, understanding that God's creative force is there for us. All we have to do is just be willing to open up to the idea of the fact that God's lightning bolts, God's tongues of flame can come down and can touch us. I don't know what happened in Midvale in 1978, 1979, but I bet it was a Pentecostal moment. I don't mean that in a capital P kind of Pentecostal movement as a movement, but they saw God as creative. They saw God as empowering. Maybe even doing something a little crazy. I could imagine what they said. Somebody said, "Are you guys nuts? Are you guys drunk? We're going to sell this church and move to where? We're going to move to Sandy? There's nobody down in Sandy. There's nobody there." And then people gathered together and said, "You know, I think it's a great idea. I'll help to sell this building. I'll help to buy some land. I'll help to raise funds to do this. I'll help to do insert in the bracket the thing that needed to be happened in order to do that, in order to make this move from there." It didn't happen overnight. It took 5 years to get here. 5 years. Could have been 40. Could have been 40. It took five. But that was an example where this church has been bold. They deferred. They let God be creative. They let God be empowering. And they used the gifts of those that were there in a way to be able to help create God's kingdom. We've done this before. We know how to do it. All we have to do is just sort of open up the book. Open up the book and go to the user's manual. There's no page in here that says, go into a second service. There's no page in here that says, this is how you balance your budget. There's no sage in here, page in here that says, here's how you fix your carburetor. People under 25, there's a thing inside of a car engine called a... God's Holy Spirit fills the gospel, fills the good news of Jesus Christ, fills the Old Testament. It's a creative force. There in Acts, the Holy Spirit comes and it takes a group of people that are dispirited. They've lost their leader. They've lost their Savior. They don't know quite what's going to happen next. And then the Holy Spirit shows up and they go out and people think they're drunk. And they go out and they preach a sermon that brings 3,000 people into the church that day. Wow. And then Paul reminds each of us that we have gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. Whether it's musical, whether it's administrative, whether it's leadership, whether it's rigging up wires to make sound work, whether it's insert something you can do. That's what God calls us to do. We're going to bring 4 young people into our church today. We're not bringing them into a dying church. We're bringing them into a church that's alive. It's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's creative. It's been empowered. And it's going to use their gifts in such a way that they will be part of the transformation of the world.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.